As part of our Simple Pleasures with Beera Moretti series, where we look at aspects of Italian life, we're going to talk today about the huge worldwide influence of Italian culture. Dr. Antonio Caschelli from Maynooth University joins us now. Good afternoon, Antonio.
Good afternoon.
So could you, people would be familiar, obviously, with the Renaissance, and I suppose that's a good starting point to talk about Italian culture. Could you explain the idea of humanism as being central to that?
Yes, the idea of humanism has to deals with the fact that the human being, humanity, now is the center of attention of all interest. The relationship between God and humanity in the Middle Ages was balanced more towards God, of course. Now with humanism, this relationship is more balanced towards humanity and human being. So humanism is the time, is that center, cultural center, cultural idea for which modernity somehow develops. Because nowadays, of course, humanity, human beings, men and women, of course, are the center of attention. And that goes back to the idea of humanism in Renaissance Italy.
Okay, I suppose that's kind of surprising, really, given that it was the center of church power in the world, or Christian church power in the world, that idea would spring up in Italy.
Yes, it was this, the church, of course, was one of the main power in Renaissance Italy, but the church was always in contrast with other political powers at the time. And for example, Venice was a republic, and even though it was a Catholic, a Christian republic, but very often was in contrast with the church. And for example, in 1606, the Catholic Church almost excommunicated, actually, Venice, because they there exerting their power over the over clergymen in 17th century Venice. So yes, it was one of the main stakeholders, if you could say so, in terms of powers. But yes, at the same time, that's the time when that power becomes slowly being eroded.
And at that time, and for many, many, many years afterwards, Italy wasn't one country. It was there, as you alluded to there, there were many republics, many dialects of Italian. So say in terms of literature, were people publishing in their local dialect and then it had to be translated to some extent?
Okay, well, it was a dual process, because there were, of course, more local poets and writers who would write in their own dialect. But the dialect doesn't need necessarily to be translated into Italian. If I read today poetry written in dialect in 16th, 17th century, yes, I need time, of course, to find my way in. But that was only one side of the story. The other side of the story, of course, is literature written in Italian. And the first very great poet of Italian literature is Dante Alighieri, with his poem La Divina Commedia.
Yes, of course. And that would be, I suppose, the equivalent for Italian school children. That would be like having to study Shakespeare.
Yes, because Dante is part of a school program, secondary school, liceo scientifico, liceo classico, and everybody in Italy has had to do at some stage with Dante's Divina Commedia. Just to make an example, a few years ago, one of the most famous Italian actor, famous even abroad, Roberto Benigni, he made a TV program in which he was reading and commenting the La Divina Commedia by Dante, and he actually was quite successful. And of course, with his charm and panache, of course, he was able to present this poem, which is quite complex, but at the same time, something can be read on so many layers, on a much more personal level, and a much more sophisticated in terms of the knowledge that is required to understand all the references, of course, to late medieval culture, and of course, plenty of references to Christian theology as well.
Did Italy invent opera?
Yes, it did invent opera, yes. Of course, it's a very complex subject, but the first experiments took place both in Rome and Florence, and Mantua at the end of the 16th century, beginning of the 17th century. These were courtly kind of events. These were all multimedia kind of events, which were organized in conjunction with important events like a wedding, a baptism, the visiting of one king to one particular court, and so on. And then from this quarterly event, then opera became a financial enterprise when it moved to Venice, which was one of the most commercially successful city in Italy at the time, with all the commerce with the eastern part of Europe, and then the eastern part and Asia, and there in Venice became a financial enterprise. So people actually invested money, and they wanted some money back out of this enterprise, and people could pay tickets to go to see an opera. Whereas the courtly events before, they were for the invited guest.
Yes, and so when it became commercialized, was it for everybody? Was there, if you like, cheap seats that ordinary people could sit in?
Let's say tickets were on sale. They weren't necessarily cheap, but certainly the audience which had access to these events was a much wider audience than the audience, of course, as I said, invited guests for these quarterly events. But from there, yes, it became, with years, with centuries, with decades, it became more and more available to everybody.
Yeah. Now, you did mention Benigni there, and people would know that the legendary director Bertolucci died just recently.
Yes.
Italian cinema, is it still, I mean, there seems to be have been a golden age of Italian cinema. What kind of condition is it in now?
That's a very good question. There are still very good authors, and it's mix and match, I would say, yes.
Yeah. Because there does seem to have been something very distinctive about Italian cinema. Why is that? Is that just because of an Italian way of looking at the world?
I suppose the reason, let's use this kind of stereotype, of course, which is very general. Yes, there is probably a particular kind of way of looking at our reality, which is Italian in a way. It's funny, every time that I compare, for example, TV dramas or crime stories which are done in Italy, they always something distinctive in terms of there is always a little bit of comedy in it, but in a very positive way, of course. We don't necessarily get those tense atmosphere maybe that we get in Norwegian or Northern European crime stories.
Yeah.
At the same time, yes.
Yeah. Dr. Anthony Cascelli is a lecturer in music in Maynooth. Antonio, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.